Hi, gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. That's right, you will not find in the scriptures that would condemn gay people. And I know many of you would think that this is the case in the Bible, but you see, there is only certain verses that you can use, about 13. Every one of the other verses are talking about general sins and general rules that doesn't talk about any kind of orientation. And it is describing events that you cannot place on any kind of orientation. But the verses that are used specifically by people like you that may think that gay is sin are very simple. There are 13 of them, and then for about 700 years, these were used as a doctrine against gays, invented by very powerful Catholic leaders for evil gain. They wanted to create scandal, and one way was to create a doctrine against gays. And they used verses that you use today. Only about one or two extra verses was added. Like in 1 Corinthians 6:9, that was added about 1850 to the condemnation of gays, which actually that verse is saying expensive call boys and male temple prostitutes. Otherwise, the verses, there are six other verses in the Old Testament that says male temple prostitutes. And these six verses, people like you that think gay is sin, say means homosexual, but they mean male temple prostitute. Not one word in the Bible, not one place of the seven verses that uses the word sodomite, it's a Bible word sodomite, not even one of them in its Hebrew description says that it is a citizen of Sodom. Every single instance of the word sodomite in the Old Testament says male temple prostitute. And in the historical record, not only the Bible describing these, in the historical record we can go to temples and find male temple prostitutes and their counterpart female temple prostitutes. And God said to rid the land of these prostitutes. And this is where you come in and say, God said, rid the land of homosexuals. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. And no matter how much you say, well, it's a man, and they're having sex, so it's got to be gay. No, that's just like saying a prostitute of a man and a woman having sex, then that's straight. So it means straight is sin. No, it doesn't work that way. It means that when a straight man goes to a male temple prostitute, that's sin because God hates it so much, the word abomination, because it's an act done in worshiping another God. You know, it's so really simple because the Bible pretty much explains it, although you think, a lot of you that talk to me say that, oh, it's so clear. If it's so clear, then why can't you explain it to me? And you say, oh, well, it's a man and a man, so that means gay. Well, that doesn't explain the thing to me. Because when I read it, I see it's a straight man going to a male temple prostitute. You know, I like to study. I like to go in the historical archives. I like to look at the ancient days when they were these sodomites in the land and look at these fertility temples and all the statues of naked people doing every kind of sexual act that you could possibly imagine and all the orgies going on in these temples and everything that the Bible's talking about. You can go and you can find them. You can dig up these archives. You can go into the library and in the internet and you can study all about these fertility gods and goddesses and you can find all kinds of deals that God is talking about when he's talking about don't do those types of things as the Egyptians were doing or the people in the land of Canaan was doing. But you can't do that. You just want to read the word of God and say that it says man with man. And so you say, well, that's all you need to know. No, it isn't. God says to study. So study what the word man. You see, when you translate from Hebrew over to English, the scholars that translated this didn't, you know, Hebrew and Greek are very interesting types of languages. You see, in English, lots of words that we have doesn't describe what the word is saying. We need lots of extra words to describe what a certain, you know, like love. You know, we have one word for love, but we have to talk about all kinds of things in a subject matter to to describe what kind of love are we talking about. We love food, well, that's different than we love our wife, or we love our husband, or we love our children, or we love our mom. You know, that's different than we love our food, or we love our car or something. You know, there's lots of different kinds of love. When you go to Greek, even the Hebrew, it describes, you use this word to mean what kind of love you need. So when you can even say one word in Hebrew or one word in Greek, and you understand completely what it's talking about. But this, in Hebrew, the word man is a multi-word. Hebrew has many words to mean man. And it depends on what Hebrew word is used that you will know what kind of man it was. In English, we have one word, man. So we have to add a number of words to that one word, man, so we'll know what kind of man it is and what things that man is doing. Hebrew, you don't have to do that. You just need one word. But I don't care what you think. When you're going to read it in English, when that word is translated to English, you're going to see the English one word. And they don't add to the sentence. They don't add all the extra descriptions. They give you clues. They give you hints. You should be able to figure it out from the clues and the hints and the rest of the chapter. In Leviticus, for instance. And you would find, if you did your study, and didn't stop at the homophobic literature that's out, but did your study by going outside that, look at both sides of the story, go look at original Hebrews and original Greeks, and take your time and find out the differences in words that is used in the Bible. It doesn't make the Bible less, it just means that the Bible is accurate, you just have to know what the words mean. This is year 2003. If you're going to base it on the Webster Dictionary, you're not going to get very far in understanding what the Word of God says. But if you go and study and listen to people that have studied, if you don't want to take the time, and look around, you know, don't go to one source, go to lots of sources and figure things out, compare it to actual events and historical records, you know, there's all kinds of stuff around to give you help. You find out abomination means you have to be doing an act in worship to another god. So you can easily compare this whole sentence just based on the word abomination, that it is not talking about gays, because there's 600 million gays, and they're not having sex worshiping other gods. They're having sex like you do if you're married, with your wife, or you're with your husband. You know, that's what gays do. And if you're talking about, there's a lot of promiscuity, well, you're talking about straights, you know. Some straights get married. Some just play around. Some do all kinds of things. Some go to the processes. Human beings do all this kind of stuff, and gays do this kind of stuff too, but then there's the majority that you don't see. And that's like married folk. Now, what's going to happen? Because you don't want to study. Well, that's interesting. By the time you see this program, because it's about 4 weeks later or so, you will see this program. Some things will be happening. You know, we're talking about Iraq war and all that kind of stuff. The president has given information to, been given full power to do things. And you see, by the time you see this program, it probably already started, because in October of 2002, sometime in that time, it is expected that the inspectors will go into Iraq. Well, you could set your clock on that. As soon as you know that the inspectors have gone into Iraq, kick your clock. Because 37 days later, if Iraq has not let these inspectors look anywhere they please, not stopping them, go anywhere they want, check everything out that they absolutely please, their heart's desire. The inspectors have got to have total, unfettered entrance into every single kind of facility in Iraq. If Iraq says no, the war starts. They have 37 days to do this from the day the first inspectors set foot in Iraq. The details are very exhaustive of exactly what will be needed to done and what is being done right now. The boats that are going down there, the number of people involved in going there. And it's like some dogs are having fun, that siren just went by. So they got it timed down where they know that it'll take about a week to get 1,000 planes over there. And how many people they're going to send over there, everything, the schedule is up there, and the process of what they're going to go, this is all planned, where they're going to come the attack from, on the ground and so forth. This is a done deal and everything. And the only way out of this kind of a deal is Iraq just lets the inspectors do everything. Then, you know, Bush is kind of up the creek, you know, because he kind of wants this war pretty badly. And so he is given the order, basically, that the inspectors must fail so that the war can start. So this would pretty much mean that in December we'll be having, you know, all the world news media and local news is going to be talking about the bombs dropping over there. Yeah, who knows, you know, maybe it'll never happen. But you see, there are people out there, when you study, you can find more details than what's coming off on the news to you, because the news is just kind of preparing you. They want you to think that let's go to war. They show various kind of sources, but the whole thing is Saddam's bad and let's go to war. My personal theory is Saddam is buddy-buddy with Bush, and Bin Laden is buddy-buddy with Bush. It is a plan. Everybody is working together for a common goal. And they are on schedule to make the one world government. This is not something that is random. We're not going to have any people out there that are renegades that can change the process of the events that's going to make the tribulation happen. This New World Order thing has been orchestrated for 5,000 years, ever since the flood, ever since Noah and his family walked off the boat, the plans began. I kind of think that the son, that sinned of Noah, began the first secret society, which later became known today as Masons, Freemasons, and all that kind of stuff. They trace their roots to this day, that they came out of the flood. Now, these people that came out of the flood, Noah and his family, knows a lot about the 1,000 years that came before the flood, because they were there. Noah was there for 300 years. And his sons had plenty of information about those days, too. And they kept the secrets, even as much as knowing where secret hideaways are of archives and libraries, which they can uncover at a certain period of time. And the conditions were built into it so that you can't really have the technology to uncover it until the certain amount of time comes to have that technology to uncover these secret places. And so they couldn't particularly do it because they didn't have any materials. And besides, they had to be secret. Noah had laid down the law, you know, we don't do the things that we did and the people were doing back in the day that before the flood. You know, we are God's people and we don't do these things. But one of his sons had hide the things that he had to do and made secrets. Now 5,000 years has come and gone. If you really begin to study the Word of God and the historical record, outside of the normal means of learning things, you know, like you grow up and go through elementary school and junior high and high school and college, these places are going to give you a biased report on history. Now you can go to another country. I just got back from Taiwan, or you go someplace else. You know, I am on the internet talking to people all over the place. Everybody seems to know the same thing. They sing the same songs, you know, the Chisholm songs and everything, and the bridge is falling down and all that. Everybody knows that. It's kind of a sick song if you really know what the words are meaning and everything. But nevertheless, everybody in the world knows that. Everybody in the world is, when their news is talking about the same kind of stuff. We got problems in these communities that seem to be the same as the other. They just happen at the same time. The reports on things and the knowledge about the world seems to be the same. It's orchestrated by certain individuals over a 5,000-year period. Now, our sources you can look at to find the truth, or at least things that are more true, and you can get a picture. The Bible tells us, as Christians, that we are supposed to keep our eyes open and watch. doesn't necessarily we can do a whole lot about it. We're supposed to be ministers. We're supposed to bring the gospel and reach out to people so that they might know Christ. We're to give information which will help people keep their faith and understand things. We're to be alert to the things that goes on around us so that when that day comes, we will recognize it and not be deceived by it. The Bible tells us there'll be a great deception. And this great deception can fool the elect if they're not watching. In Revelation 3:3, it says, if you do not watch, you will not know the hour. Now, somehow, people's got this idea we can never know the hour. He comes as a thief in the night. And we can never know. You know, it just, you know, we're walking around today, our pastor with us, you know, what happens if tonight he came? Would you be ready? People, he is not coming tonight. He is not coming for a few years, people. You're never ever going to have a time where you could say in real honesty or any truthfulness that he is coming tonight. Until certain events take place. One of the events is the church has to go through 1,260 days, exactly 1,260 days of punishment, as it were, chastisement. This is the time period the church is putting on the wedding gown so they can get married to Jesus Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And we will have to put on our wedding gown, but we don't want to. We're having good fun playing church. We like our own ideas about how we want things to be. And we like to say, hey, if you don't know Jesus, and he came tonight, or if Jesus came tonight, would you be ready? People, this is not right. Because the Bible tells us we can know the hour. And it says a great deception comes. Now, what is a deception? If you understand things, I've just told you that there's a group of people that are experts at deception. They've had 5,000 years of practice. Did you hear me? The people that are going to deceive you has 5,000 years of practice. And they've been very successful. And they've got you ready today to go and do what they want. When you listen to people that are protesting against this war in Iraq, for instance, and you listen to the reason why they're protesting, it's all wrong. Protester after protester, you mean, you would think that protesting the government that's going to become the New World Order and stuff like that, or doing something that's wrong and everything, was good. But if you protest and you're not protesting based on the truth, then you have fallen into the deception. These people that we see protesting the Iraq and war, to have a preemptive strike and say, we don't want that. If you listen to the words that they say, they are basing it on something that has nothing to do with the truth. They are basing it on what they have been fed and taught to do by the very people that they are protesting against. I guarantee you, people, when you look at any protester that comes on the street, for any reason just about, you're going to listen and you're going to hear words that they have been trained. Some of them knowingly, and some of them have no clue how come they are protesting the way and saying it is. They're basing their protests on lies that they think is the truth. The truth is in the Bible. The truth is in what the government is doing and what the information they are feeding people. The truth is that attacking Iraq is Bush and Saddam Hussein are together. Bush and bin Laden is together. The leader of Russia and Bush and the leader of China is together. This is not something that there are enemies, country against country. We are trained to hate this country and that country because the leaders are working together to make us hate their country and love our country or something, or these people are bad or those people are bad, and we just go along with it, hook, line, and sinker. the Republicans and the Democrats are working for the exact same goal. And yet, we have some people that would absolutely hate one of them and hate the other. You gotta hate them all if you're gonna hate, because they all have the same agenda: to make the tribulation happen. And the things are all set up. The implement to make this happen was 9/11. All the other ingredients was in. They needed something to start the snowball that would not stop. Before, there was nothing. Nothing happened in the world to make it happen. The first Iraq war, the Gulf War, wasn't enough to make anything happen. The ingredients weren't there. But 9/11 made it happen. And they got Bush in because of a lie. It wouldn't matter if Gore got in, because they're working for the same goal. If you know some of the things that Gore has in mind, they're just as heinous as the things that Bush has in mind. You're not going to get somebody in power that's going to be helpful to you and the nation and the world. A one world government is coming, and it's snowballing with nothing can stop it. If we took arms up a day and come up against the nation, we will not be able to stop what has happened. And God wouldn't let you anyway, because the time is right. There's only a couple of things left to make it actually begin, the tribulation. And that is, the two witnesses have to be there. People, if you think you're going to miss the tribulation, you're very wrong. You've already deceived. The NASA has actually the technology in space right now to fake the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Every eye in the world will see, every ear in the world will hear something that looks like Jesus or their God coming in the sky. Everybody will see this, but this is technology. It is not real. The computers can fool your senses into believing what you see is real. If you see Jesus coming, it's not Jesus, people. You have 1,260 days to get ready for Jesus, and then maybe another 75 days before the real rapture happens. And when the real rapture happens, you're not going to see Jesus coming. You're going to meet him in the air. Now, things are going to happen, and they're going to happen quickly. There is a period of time that's going to go by, and not until certain events. You've got to get the two witnesses to meet each other. They might have. I have a feeling there is a potential possibility they might have met in January or December of last year, or a month or two earlier. They need about 2 years somehow or another communicating together. That's what I think. Of what God's been showing me for the past 30 years in various ways. And then they begin their ministry. They have about 6 full years together of knowing each other. And then they die. They're killed by Antichrist. So they have 3.5 of those years are in the tribulation. And those 3.5 years is to get the church ready. You're not going anywhere until the two witnesses get you ready for eternity with Christ. The last half of the tribulation is getting the remainder of Christians ready, and they will only go into the millennial reign with Jesus. Well, I'm out of time right now. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third day. Simple prayer gets you saved. Now you got to get ready. Look up, because things are about to happen. See you next week.